and I had a moment of clarity. Oh, it was like the angels came down, the rays of light. And the thought popped into my mind, your mood is not dependent upon Sean. You are responsible for your mood and you have no one else to blame for it. Welcome to the Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers podcast with Sean and Jasmine Turner and sponsored by ParentEQ.com. Welcome everybody to another episode of Real Life Parents, Real Life Answers. I am Jasmine. I am one of the hosts of the podcast. My husband Sean and I do every other week. He usually interviews real life parents and talks about parenting issues with them. And I usually come on and do a little solo podcast, just some of my random thoughts that I share with you. Quickly, before I head into the main portion of the podcast, let me take a moment to remind you that we are on social media. Yay, just like everybody else, almost everybody else. But we would love it if you could follow us there and you can find out when new episodes come out, get little insights on things. And I always share links and resources to other people's podcasts, other people's books. I feel like we need to team together to get people the information that they need. And so I'm always willing to share the amazing things that I learn from other people. Our Instagram account is @RealLifeParentsPodcast. You can hop on there and just follow us for more insights, more information. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter if you happen to be on those platforms. In addition, I just want to remind you that if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate it if you leave us a rating and even a review. Those are all different ways that we can get our podcast out to more people so that we can help more parents. As usual, I am going to kick off this podcast with a story, a real life story. I'm always super vulnerable with you guys, and you know that I always like to share my wonderful parenting adventures with you. And one is very fresh in my mind because it happened yesterday. And it was really funny because all this week I kind of had in my mind, I think I'm going to talk about this. And then this little incident happened yesterday, and I thought, wow, I need to share that with everybody on the podcast. So the story starts out like this. I work full time. And so Sean and I sort of share in like the housekeeping activities, which I, to his credit, he helps in, you know, keeping the house up and doing laundry and all of those things just as much as I do. But it is a little bit tough when you are busy and you're trying to fill in those gaps with other important things to get to, like the toilets, right? Okay, I've got 7 boys. I actually only have 6 at home, but I've got 6 boys at home. So yeah, those are things that need to be taken care of on a regular basis. I mean, we're almost to the point where we're like the McDonald's and we need to be cleaned every single day, like thoroughly. But we're not there. But I'm just saying, that's how much they're used. The bathrooms are used a lot. And you know, boys. Anyhow, so I walk around the house and I'm kind of taking an inventory on my day off. And I'm looking at what needs to be done in the bathroom toilet areas. And that's actually not Sean's favorite thing to do. So I can't really count on him to do that. It's an unspoken thing, but it's kind of like my thing. And whether or not I get somebody else to do it or I do it myself, because I don't always hate it, but there's just times that I just don't really feel like doing it. And yesterday was one of those times. So I walked into one of the bathrooms, and I kid you not, like, we don't let the bathrooms go for a long time. We don't let them go for weeks and weeks and weeks, but it had been a little bit for this one. And the sad thing is it can literally be 2 days and look like it has been 3 weeks in my bathroom. I don't know about your guys' bathroom, but they like paint the sink with toothpaste. They get toilet paper all over the floor. There's just things all over the counter. And it looks like somebody literally took and sprayed the mirror with whatever coating. That's how my bathroom looks after even 2 days sometimes. That's why I think sometimes that's why I like hesitate even cleaning it, because I'm like, what's the point? It's going to be a mess again in 2 days. But anyways, I digress. So back to the story. I was at a point in a day where I had other things planned. Like, did I want to spend my day off cleaning the toilets? No, I honestly didn't. Did it need to be done? Yes, it did. Would it make me happier if I knew, sitting in my house, spending time with my kids, that all the bathrooms were also clean at that moment in time? Yes, it would. So I had a problem, right? Because I wanted something, but I wasn't willing to do it. And then there's that sort of shame where I'm like, well, your children can do it. Like, get your kids responsible, get them going with. I don't really have a chore chart for bathrooms. It's more of a, like, I have a time where I'll be like, hey, everybody has to do 5 jobs. And so I'll assign it like that. And some of them had already done other jobs. And so anyway, the bathrooms weren't done, included in that sort of way that I was doing it that day. There were other things that needed to be done and that were more important, like dishes or floors or clutter or whatever it was. I mean, there's always a myriad of things that need to be done at the house, a myriad of chores. And I have a lot of little ones right now at home. I only have my 13-year-old boy and my like 10-year-old boy who are decent cleaners. And then I have my 2 7-year-olds and my 5-year-old, and they're working on it. Like, they can do pretty well, but their attention span isn't very long. And so I can give them like clean one mirror or clean two mirrors and they do okay. But if I give them too much, they get overwhelmed. So anyway, I looked at this toilet, looked at this bathroom, was standing there, and I felt this just immediate sense of overwhelm. Immediate sense of overwhelm. And I know that you guys can relate to that. I'm sure that you felt the same way. You just kind of get that wave of like, you just want to give up. You literally just want to give up. So that's where I was. I started kind of half-heartedly cleaning the bathroom, but I was so overwhelmed that I didn't even want to go there. I just looked at it and was sad, honestly. Frustrated, sad. And here's the thing. I have a little guy who was intuitive about that, and he tapped into that, and he could sense that I was frustrated. And I took a deep breath, and I just tried to think in my mind, okay, do I need to start hiring somebody to come clean again? Because guys, there is no shame in hiring somebody to clean your house. I'm going to say that right now. This is not a podcast about shaming people for not using their children for every single chore and for paying somebody to clean their house. Nope, won't do it. Took me 20 years not to feel guilty about hiring somebody. Now I just hire like, I'll hire like a teenager from the neighborhood or whatever, but it's, holy cow, that is the best money I spend. The best. One of my triggers is a dirty house, particularly dirty bathrooms and a dirty kitchen and probably a dirty floor. So, well, actually all of it. But anyway, and so what I've ended up doing is I've ended up deciding, like, is it worth it for me to not walk in the house and be super angry because the house is a mess because nobody's cleaning it to my expectations? The person I hire is going to do a better job than my kids at this point because I don't get dictatorial about cleaning and I don't try to hold them to a standard that's impossible for them. And so I do allow them to clean at their level, but is that my level that I want? Not really. There was a time where I had more time and where I was doing it myself and I actually enjoyed it. I'll put a podcast in. Some of you may be cleaning as we speak. It's not a horrible thing. It's just I had to decide where I wanted to spend my energy. And right now, since I'm working full time, I don't want to spend my energy cleaning the bathrooms. So I had this child walk in as I was in the midst of thought, what do I do? Like, this is going to ruin my whole day. That's where I was. I'm being honest with you guys. Have you ever had something where it triggered you so much? You're like, this is literally going to ruin my entire day. And I was there. I was at the brink. And I did something really weird. I don't know if it was him walking in that just, I said to him, Ian, I need you to clean this one bathroom. Now, I knew they were all dirty, but I knew that if I could just get one really clean, that I'd actually feel better. So I was kind of being self-aware right then because I knew that the trigger was that all of them were and I wouldn't be so overwhelmed if one of them was clean. Isn't that a weird thing? But it's true. I looked at him and I said, Ian, I need this bathroom clean. And he knows, like, he's expected to do chores. So he wasn't fighting me on it or anything. He knows. We give our kids a lot. Like, we'll tell them that. We'll say, like, look what you're getting. Okay, I just want to remind you right now while you're on screen time, we're giving this to you. And then they know what that means is later they may be asked to do something. So we give them a lot of yeses so that then they know that when we ask them to do something, they should be giving us a yes back. Kind of a little training that we've done with them, I guess you could say. It's also partly this child's personality, since we talk a lot about that on this podcast, about knowing myself, knowing my child. My child, this particular one, I knew I could ask him this and he wouldn't get overwhelmed, because I have another child that if I were to ask him to clean the bathroom, he would get overwhelmed. He would immediately shut down and say, oh, I can't do it. I'd have to tell him, like, okay, clean the mirror. Okay, clean the sink. Okay, clean the toilet. Like, he'd have to come back every time. So that's just something really important about this story, is to remind myself, look, I used his personality style and I knew I could ask him to clean the bathroom. And when he did say yes, it was weird. But all of a sudden, I just had the entire overwhelm energy just lift off of me. And I realized that I had totally blown the bathroom thing out of proportion. And in the grand scheme of things, it was going to be okay. Like, we were going to survive if the bathrooms weren't spotless. In that moment of overwhelm, the key thing that I did and the key thing that I wanted to share with you guys was I stopped. I gathered my senses enough that I wasn't in like a fight or flight, anxiety, freaking out mode. And I was in a sensible mode, like, for heaven's sakes, this 10-year-old right here is a really good bathroom cleaner. And honestly, even though I said some of the kids aren't, he's actually pretty good. He's to a level where it would have meant something to me that he was going to do it. That's why I asked him, honestly. And so I asked him to do it. He said yes. The biggest thing about the whole thing is, though, that I paused. So I want to talk for a second, talk about the overwhelm, and then I'm going to talk about the pause. All of us know that we have triggers that send us into a state of overwhelm. And I don't even want to say send us, because honestly, that takes away our choice to go into a state of overwhelm. So technically, all of us have triggers that when we are faced with them, we choose to go into a state of overwhelm, right? So we have a choice. That's one really important thing for you to remember. Now, I did get triggered. I did choose to go into a state of overwhelm, but I didn't give up. Sometimes we get in that state of overwhelm and we wallow in our overwhelm for hours, days, well, hours, days, whatever. Hopefully it's not days. That's a long time to be overwhelmed. And when we do that, I feel like we get stuck in a loop. We get stuck in a loop and we can't get out of it. That's the feeling that I have when I'm in that mode. I don't know about you guys, but that's how I would identify it. So how do you get out of the loop? Well, there comes the next part that I wanted to talk about. You pause. You take a moment to stop and think. Just a second, even just a second, to gather your senses. If you even could, because all of us heading into this next week are probably going to be faced with a trigger where we choose to be overwhelmed. If you even could just remember the word pause, just like I said it on the podcast, you would stop and say, oh, Jasmine said pause. Without me telling you how to solve the particular problem that you're having at that moment, for instance, mine was a dirty bathroom. Yours might be a child who is throwing a tantrum. Yours might be a teenager who's making bad choices and you're about ready to confront them. Yours might be something with your spouse, because this isn't just about, you know, our kids. This can be about our relationships. So when you're facing that and you have chosen to go into overwhelm, rather than get stuck in the loop, trigger yourself back out of it by saying in your mind, pause. So you had a trigger when you chose to get into it. Why not create a trigger that helps you get out of it? That's exactly what you're doing. It's a loop. You're triggered into the loop, and you can trigger yourself right back out of the loop. I am a very firm believer in empowering parents. I am a very firm believer in empowering parents because I feel like so much of the time they come to me, or I've felt it, I don't even have to say it's something that I haven't experienced, and they feel powerless, or I feel powerless. I've honestly given away my power at that point in time to that thing. I gave my power away to the dirty toilets. It wasn't something forced upon me by my children who were using the bathroom and smearing toothpaste everywhere. They didn't make me feel overwhelmed. They didn't take away that power. I gave it to the situation. So that's where this self-awareness piece comes in that we're always talking about in the podcast, knowing yourself, realizing what triggers you, realizing what self-talk you're using, realizing what story you're writing in your mind that may not necessarily be true. And then pausing to take that information and decide what you're going to do with it. Reclaiming the power that you temporarily gave to the situation. Let me tell you another story that illustrates this same example. Somehow all of my stories have to do with keeping a tidy house. I've kind of a clean freak. You wouldn't necessarily know it by going into my house, but again, it's a trigger. It had been a long day at work. I came home and I was cleaning up clutter, not really what I wanted to be doing at that moment in time. It was Sean's day to work from home. And so I knew he had been there, yet it wasn't really as clean as I wanted it to be. So I felt obligated to spend the time I could have been relaxing or playing with the kids, cleaning up random socks and toys, plates, you know how it is, just the clutter that accumulates after a whole day. And I was resentful. I really felt like it was his fault that I was having to do this. And then I was grumpy. So then I was resentful that it was his fault, and also resentful that because of what he did, I was grumpy. I was in a bad mood. That's the story I was telling myself. But then that magical thing happened. And rather than being stuck in that loop of resentment, just like I was stuck in that loop of overwhelm in the bathroom, I paused and I did a little check-in with myself. I took a breath. I don't even know how to describe it, because I know some of you might be saying, well, how do you do that? How do you go from a super emotionally charged state to a not so emotionally charged state? It might have literally been taking a breath. Breathe in and breathe out. And I had a moment of clarity. Oh, it was like the angels came down, the rays of light. And the thought popped into my mind, your mood is not dependent upon Sean. You are responsible for your mood, and you have no one else to blame for it.
Whoa.
It doesn't sound so deep when you're saying it in a lucid place, but when you're in a state of resentment and overwhelm and triggered, that's a really deep thing to think, because I'm used to being stuck in the loop. It was definitely an aha moment for me. And it was all because I paused. I am a very high energy person. I'm a doer. So I will just go like the Energizer Bunny. I will just do it without any thought for, I mean, I'm kind of more of like a product oriented person rather than a process oriented person. Sean would say that. He's more the process oriented. I'm the product oriented. So I don't stop or slow down for anything. I just want the darn thing done. So it's actually a miracle that I paused, because I will just go and I'll just clean, resentfully, I might add. But that time, something happened. And I honestly think that I'm slowly training my brain to pause. It's like a muscle memory thing. It's like reframing, taking the time to reframe. There's so many ways you could word this. I hope you guys are understanding and feeling what I'm trying to say, because it's kind of a easy thing to understand, but it's also a little bit hard to understand. But just taking that moment to look at the bigger perspective and exit that loop where I was wearing just total blinders. My only thought was the dang clutter that I got to clean up because my husband didn't have my kids do it or whatever. I like took off those blinders. My sights were opened, and all of a sudden I saw what was really there. And it wasn't that at all. Nobody was forcing me to clean. Nobody was forcing me to do the clutter. Nobody was even expecting it, to be honest. And if I would have left it alone for an hour and spent some time with my kids or relaxing, I probably could have come back to it and been totally fine, which is, I think, what I did, by the way, because I did pause. In a normal situation in the past, though, what I would have done is just kept going, and the resentment would have built. Built and built and built and built. And so I guess if I were to end with anything, it would be to remind you to pause. Take a breath. What is your pause? Do you need to like put your hand on your heart and take a breath? I mean, physically, it sounds silly to say that, but some people need that kinesthetic reminder. So if you're that kind of a person and you need a kinesthetic reminder, put your hand on your heart. If you need to take a breath, take a breath. If you have like a sign, a poster in your house, or you don't have one, or maybe you could make one that says the word pause. Like I would put one in every room. That's how I am. Every room that I think I could be triggered in, I would put the word pause. It's amazing what pausing and checking in with yourself to see the big picture will do when you're stuck in a loop of highly charged emotion, overwhelm, anxiety, etc., etc. All of those big, big feelings that come up frequently when you're dealing with little people. Well, not just little people, but little people, tweens, teens, all of them. Thank you so much for spending this little bit of time with me to hear my ramblings. I really enjoy being able to share these thoughts of my heart, because I feel like it's kind of my duty, having gone through the experience, to then help other people. I feel like that's what we're all doing, right? We're all in this together. I say that a lot in the podcast. Like, we're in the trenches with you. We're a team. I want you to feel like that. I want you to feel like that we're here to support you through whatever it is, through your stuff. And that if I have something to share with you, then I do. If I have an aha moment, I get to share that with you. And then that's why we have real life parents on our podcast with Sean, so that you can share your aha moments, your frustrations, all the goods, the bads, and the uglies with us too. And we can all really just feel validated, right? We can feel validated, and we can feel like somebody understands us. Before I end, just another quick reminder that we would love it if you could leave a little rating or a review on the podcast. And in addition to that, we would love it if you would be willing to come on the podcast. If you are, feel free to email us at reallifeparentspodcast@gmail.com. Drop us a line And we will get back to you to schedule a time that you can come on the podcast to talk about any issue that you feel like is pressing, anything that you've even had success with, so that other parents can relate to you. What you have to say is valuable. Thanks again for joining us. Until our next episode, here's to authentic and intentional parenting. Last but not least, the advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional.